I made a comment earlier tonight that I guess went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Play ball!
Yahweh! Ciao, Fudgepackers. Welcome to Pure Boys Podcast. Spring training! Baseball is back, and so we're doing a month of baseball movies, mostly centered around God and also baseball. I'm Adam, and Urine.
And I'm Steve, and don't worry, we are definitely focused on God and baseball.
Of course.
And what that brings into our lives. This is spring training, baby.
So excited. I'm so thrilled. We were very nervous about, because we'd come up with this idea a while ago, and we were very excited about it, but then the baseball strike was going on, and we were like, well, we can't do spring training while there's no baseball, but now baseball's back, so spring training's back.
I do want to mention that it was a lockout. These greedy owners locked out the league.
That's
so the players didn't strike. All faith to the players and unions and the workers out there.
Allah faith to them, for sure, man. Yeah, I apologize. You were more invested in it than I was. I just misunderstood. I didn't realize that it wasn't a player's problem, that it was a greedy owner's problem.
Exactly. The coaches are, like, wedged in the middle. They're the meat of the matter.
Mmm, yum. They're a hot pastrami, if you know what I mean.
They are a hot pastrami, you're right.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, this week, we're talking about a real hot pastrami of a movie. We're talking about 2020's Romance in the Outfield Double Play, a movie about softball? Starting spring training with a softball movie?
I was pissed. I honestly was very upset.
Yeah. I mean, we came into this to, like, the description of it is, like, disgraced baseball player, and I'm like, okay, cool, baseball, great. And then we get there, and it's just young women throwing giant balls around in some weird windmill motion because their bodies can't throw normally. And it just went, like, why can't we do a movie about a real sport? Not some wimpy, mamby-pamby softball garbage. A real sport.
Can women even play in the spring? Isn't the moon, like, in retrograde or something, or too big?
Yeah, I think it's when their period tides are the highest is in the spring.
Yeah.
It's when the flow is the heaviest, so it doesn't seem fair. Maybe that's because they have so much aggression, and they can go out there and just huck the heck out of these big neon yellow balls that they have to play with, because their eyes aren't good enough to see a little baseball.
Yeah, they can't even be white. What the heck is that?
I know, right? Like, just an embarrassment to sports all around.
Well, it's an embarrassment to humanity. I mean, ringette, softball, just let's play sports.
Right, the lesser of all games. And they, oh, look how tough we are. And we're tough and we're blah, blah, blah. Still an embarrassment. Still embarrassing.
This kind of comes off like we're women hating.
Yeah, just so we're clear, we are playing characters. I'm Adam, he's Steve. This is all just for goofs and laugh-em-ups. This isn't real talk. We don't really think this way. This is just for fun. Jesus, get off our back. Oh my God, everybody. Calm down. Oh my God.
And I hate these things because I want equality.
Yeah, I want a woman to play professional baseball. I want Roberto Alomar to put a friggin' line drive right down the plate. He was a pitcher, right?
I think he was an infield man.
Well,
but
then he's throwing,
I'm not too sure.
Then he's throwing from the infield towards somebody.
Yeah, he's pitching love and catching faith.
Exactly. Good luck thinking of a famous baseball pitcher. Good luck naming any softball player for that matter.
Oh, man, I couldn't think of one softball player off the top of my dome.
You're damn right you can't. And there's a reason for that. Before we get too deep into our love fest of softball, we need to do, of course, the Pure Boys Prayer. God. Oh, yeah,
God
sorry.
Bless.
Oh, God bless.
Put your hands together.
I'm
Come
sorry.
On.
God bless.
God bless
our podcast.
God bless all podcasts. We love you.
Amen. And release. Perfect.
Let's play ball.
Play ball. What did you think of the new theme song for spring training?
I absolutely loved it. I have been getting steeped into baseball this year.
Yes.
And that meme has been coming up a lot, or that phrase by that announcer. I looked into it, and I was wondering why he was saying that apology.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something to the effect, not our sentiments whatsoever.
No.
But he was caught live on air saying, like, it's a capital city.
Like no, so it's the guy. I will, and I'll censor that. Don't worry. I'm not gonna slander you. I'm not gonna put that out there with you saying a hard F slur. I'll censor it for you. But his name is okay. Tom Brenneman. He was a play-by-play announcer on Fox Ohio. And during a game, during the pregame, his mic was on,
yep.
And he. And, like, I don't even know what city he was referring to. I'm guessing, like, San Francisco or something like that. Maybe they were playing
Has
the Giants or something. Yeah. And he was, and he just, on air, they're showing people warming up, and you just hear him go, oh, it's the f***ing capital of the world.
And then, and then he apologizes, invoking God and his, you know, good spirits.
And that's
and
later.
He would never talk that way.
No, no, no. And that's later. That the game has started at this point. He said that during the pregame, and then the gear started going in motion, and then he was summarily fired, like, live during the game. And, then apologized live on air, and mid-apology, a home run was hit. So, being a professional, he had to call that home run, even if he was in the middle of apologizing.
Yeah, it's very funny. The somberness in his voice while he calls that home run is absolutely delightful. And him saying he would, like, never talk that way, or that's not truly him. Well, it obviously was. Yeah. Like, you said it with such vigor. You said the F word so strongly, that's exactly who you are.
Yeah, and it's like, and you chose to say that. Like, no one was like, hey, where's the capital of the world? Like, nobody baited you into it. Like, you said it. It's, his apology is one of the funniest things I've ever seen, because after the clip, I couldn't use the whole thing, because obviously the theme song is only as long as it is, but after it, he's like, you can see the panic on his face, and he's just like, you know, that's not who I am. I would never do that. Well, you already did it. But then he's like, I would hope that there are people around me that can, like, vouch for me and come to my defense and prove my character. All, spoiler alert, nobody did. Now he calls high school baseball games in Cincinnati, and that's what he does now for a living. So pretty hilarious how it all worked out for him.
That's baseball, baby.
That's baseball, baby. And look forward to it, because it's going to be a theme song every week for spring training. So we get to...
I'm very looking forward to it. Oh, God. But right now, I would like to present to you, I'm going to pour coffee, hot, scalding coffee, from one cup to another on live air.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. All right. How's it going?
Perfect.
Wow. wow, that's getting cut. All right.
That better not get cut. That was beautiful podcasting.
Didn't even hold it up to the mic. Like, didn't even hold it up so we could hear the coffee pouring. Just did it for me. That was just for me, listeners. That wasn't for you at all. So thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
I tried to put it up to the mic. I got very nervous, obviously, by my speaking.
Right. Your hands were shaking. I saw flop sweat on your head. It's almost like you got caught saying a hard F slur on air. And you needed to, you know, find someone to come to your defense and judge your character properly.
I could have burned my dick.
That's true. Well, after that very important moment, we need to. I need to ask you a very important question. And that, of course, is... Steve, whomst was the Roberto Alomar of... whatever the last movie we watched was?
Pendragon.
Pendragon! That's it, Sword of His Father.
This is a tough one because obviously all week I was thinking of another question that you usually ask me.
Of course.
But I would have to say the Roberto Alomar of Pendragon is the forest. I have no idea. I can't think of a character name other than the Pendragon. Now, Adam, whom do you think was the Roberto Alomar of the Pendragon?
Well, first of all, thanks so much for asking, Steve. I really appreciate the question. And for me, the Roberto Alomar of the Pendragon was obviously the Pendragon. Because, like you, I can't think of anything else about that movie. And I'm talking about the original Pendragon. I'm not talking about Son of Pendragon. I'm talking about Pendragon Senior. And, you know, he led the charge. And to me, he was like a real infielder for that community. And that's all I know about Roberto Alomar. So that's why the Pendragon was my Roberto Alomar of the Pendragon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Still have just a few more seconds.
Yeah, but can we get to the end?
Here we go. Play ball. There's going to be a lot of play ball this next month, I think.
A lot of play ball. Do you want to know how much Roberto Alomar weighed during most of his career?
I would love nothing more than to have even one more piece of information about Roberto Alomar.
He weighed approximately, because it fluctuates depending on how much, you know, liquid you have inside
of
you
course.
And, like, food and all that.
Yeah, pregame, postgame. There's obviously going to be a difference.
Oh, pregame, postgame. You're fluctuating all over the place weight-wise.
Lose 7 pounds running those bases.
The fact that this weight isn't, like, a scale of, like, 5 pounds is absolutely ridiculous.
Of course.
Don't even know if we can trust it.
I don't think we can, but I'd still like the information.
Okay, he was approximately 184 pounds.
Wow, that seems pretty svelte for a ball boy.
Well, you have to be svelte when you're a second baseman.
Ah, there it is. Yes, he was a second. That still counts as the infield, right?
It surely does.
Excellent. I'm very knowledgeable about baseball. I have a lot of names in my head, such as Roberto Alomar. Ready? Let's name all the baseball players we can name. Daryl Strawberry.
Randy Johnson.
Jose Canseco.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
I don't know who that is. Babe Ruth. Hey, there we go.
Hey, there we go. Uh-huh. Honus Wagner.
Mark McGuire.
Hey, there we go. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Bo Bichette.
And the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Every week we should return to that segment where we list all the baseball players we can think of.
I'm new to baseball, but I at least know most of the names of the Toronto Blue Jays because they're Haitian favorites.
Oh, okay. So you're listing current baseball players.
A couple of them were. Honus Wagner was a famous baseball player in, like, the 1900s.
Oh, how do you spell Honus?
H-O-N-U-S.
Oh, okay. It's literally how... okay, fair enough. Yeah. Which league did he play in?
I think he was American League. I don't know.
I was trying to bait you into saying the Negro League. Couldn't do it.
No, he was white as the British snow.
White as the British snow. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, are you ready for everyone's favorite segment of the week?
Second favorite?
Yeah,
the
pretty
Kevin
much.
Sorbo, Tweet of the Week.
I did not change this song. This one is just staying as it is because it's perfect.
Yeah, you don't need to touch this song. No. I just have to figure out my tab. let me just open this browser.
Yeah,
Google Chrome.
Close your Roberto Alomar tab.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to close that one, but I guess I'll tab over is
there
what
you.
I'll do.
Perfect, yeah.
All right, here we go. Kevin Sorbo, 11:57 a.m. on March 27th, 2022.
Oof, right before lunch.
Twitter for iPhone. Is a new part of that segment. Okay, sometimes great. I just miss the way he said China.
I'm so happy that's the tweet you went with. Because yeah. I saw that one too, and I thought, Steve's going to love this one.
I honestly went with his comedian in a candy store tweet because I didn't get it. I didn't understand what that was.
Well, what
was
it?
And it took me way too long to figure it out.
Well, let's hear it. What is it?
Biden is more confused than a chameleon in a candy store.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's really good, Kev. I don't know if I get it.
Well, see, candy comes in all sorts of colors.
Oh, stupid chameleon just walked to the chocolate section. Dummy, stupid idiot.
Well, it's not the right month for it, I don't think.
What's the right month for it?
Black History Month, February.
Jeez. That's funny. You beat me to it, because I thought you were going to say February because of Valentine's Day, and then I was going to go, because it's Black History Month, but then you beat me to it, so... Yeah. Good one.
Great one.
Great tweet, Kev. Glad to see you got that new iPhone set up and you're tweeting like crazy now. I'm guessing he dropped his old Android into the toilet accidentally, so he had to upgrade, and he was like, yeah, you know what? I already have an iMac. I might as well, you know, create the environment and connect all my devices. So he got an iPhone. Good for him.
And usually the phone can withstand like a little bit of water, but he had the bidet on, and that really fricked it. It got right into the speakers.
Well, yeah. Plus, it dropped right onto a pile of diarrhea that he left in there. So he was like, I kind of don't feel right about putting this near my face again. Even after I clean it, I'll still imagine the smell is on it. So...
I think they should have rich toilets that have a wide enough berth for a phone. So if rich people drop their phone in the toilet, they can just flush it down.
Oh, the pipe is big. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. That's a great idea. And then that way also, it won't get clogged as easily when they take their big, rich dumps.
The pipe and the hole is much bigger for a rich man's poop.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think? Do you think Kevin folds his paper? Do you think Kevin stands up when he wipes or sits down? Do you think he folds his paper or just crumples it up like an animal?
I think he started off his teen years with standing up. But as the weight of celebrity and money and a family got to him, he started sitting down probably mid-30s, 40s, around there.
That makes the most sense. Yeah, that seems to be kind of the journey for everyone, right? Like, how old were you when you realized that, like, peeing sitting down was the best thing ever and you're never standing up to pee in a toilet ever again?
I had a lot of transition years, but then I realized that I was sitting a lot for my number ones and thought, let's just go with it. You know, like, what's the use of standing up to pee in my own home?
Right? What kind of weird, pathetic, like, masculinity garbage is that where it's like, oh, you have to stand up to pee? Man, I'm sitting to pee 100% of the time. That's like, it's the best. Unless I'm in a public place, in which case I'll pee in a urinal. But my house doesn't have a urinal. So, sitting on the turf.
Yet.
Yeah, maybe in the next house.
Maybe in the next life. You never know.
Maybe in another life. That would be beautiful. And maybe in another life, we could have watched Pitching Love and Catching AIDS, the movie that Romance in the Outfield Double Play from 2020 is a sequel to. But not this life. This life, we jumped straight to Romance in the Outfield Double Play.
I think that's the way we play it. We go right to the sequels for the important series in our lives.
Absolutely. This is it's a real Christian movie, like, trope that we've discovered, where they make a movie, it's not very successful, then they make a sequel to it, change the name of the movie entirely, like Horse Camp.
Yeah.
Right? The first one was called something else. It was called, like, Pitching Horse and Catching AIDS or something. And then they made Horse Camp, and then Horse Camp: A Love's Tale. But that's a trilogy, but the first one is completely different from the other two.
Well, I feel like they recognize that the first one's utter crap. So in order to market it to new streaming services, they pitch it as a new story, a new tale, if you will. And I guess it works.
I mean, it worked for the Horse Camp franchise for sure.
I think this movie's on Amazon Prime.
It wouldn't surprise me. I do know that it's on, what is it, Faith TV on YouTube? Because this is a Bridgestone Multimedia Group movie, and I was so thrilled to see them. They may have turned down sponsoring us, but we were excited to see them anyway.
Did you watch to the end of the credits? Because it specifically says distributed by Bridgestone Media Group a lot at the end of the credits.
That's pretty cool. That makes sense. Of course, that's what they did. They distributed it.
Yeah, they're a distributor. They get it out there. They have connections, which is why we wanted to connect with them, but they were too dumb.
Yeah, they were too ungodly to see what we were doing here. They couldn't see the mission, and we said, look, God's plan, you know. God spoke to us. He said, reach out to Bridgestone Multimedia Group and see if they'll sponsor you guys. And they responded with a big old no. But we did have some good correspondence with them and sent them a crazy email at the end that was like not threatening, but just like, you will regret this. One day we will be titans of the industry and you will regret this.
We were very nice about it and we were very godly about it. I think when we reach out to distribution companies such as Bridgestone Multimedia Group, we should start with God told us to do this, or God is making us do it, or something like that.
God has a gun to our head right now and he's making us type this email. Send help. Please help us. God has us hostage.
I think you're dealing with the devil.
Well, I think you're dealing with the devil.
Yeah. How dare you say that to us?
Yeah, you're talking about the Lord and Savior, God. Yeah. Maybe you've heard of him?
We're Adam and Steve. We know what God is.
Yeah, we know. He made us from the tops of our heads to the tips of our dicks. He made us. We know who he is.
We were before Lucifer.
Yeah, for sure we were. And now we just got hunky Lucifer hanging around, giving us snakes and apples and whispering in our ears, all kinds of naughty business, and we love him.
And this was pre-GMO apples, so it was, like, absolutely delicious. You wouldn't believe how sugary and crisp and refreshing that first apple was.
Oh, yeah. I really love when they depict, like, Eve's temptation, and the apple that they pick is a Red Delicious, and you're just like... That's a garbage apple. That's the worst of, that's worse than like a Granny Smith or even a crab apple. I would rather eat a tart crab apple than a Red Delicious. Just sand covered in an apple skin. Disgusting. Could you imagine if the devil tempted Eve, she took a bite of that apple and went, oh no, my brain. She would feel like such a fool after that.
Well, have you heard the tale of the Red Delicious or Macintosh or whatever it is? How it became a garbage apple?
Like, those are different apples you're describing. Macintosh are still good. Red Delicious are garbage. Yeah. So tell me the tale of Red Delicious.
I think it was the Red Delicious. Basically, they used to be amazing apples, like in the 70s or 80s. So they became very popular. But what happened was they started picking the beautiful Red Delicious apples. And over time, they became terrible because they would, like, prioritize looks over taste. And now they're really, really bad.
Oh, that actually makes a lot of sense. I always thought it was just, like, a cruel joke that they were called Red Delicious.
Forced humanitarian evolution.
Wow. Kind of like a pug.
Yeah, kind of like a pug.
Hmm. Well, great job, humanity. You did it again. If you'd have just followed God's plan, everything, we still would be eating Red Delicious. But instead, now we're eating just creamed crap, I guess.
Yeah, just a bag of sand.
For real. Well, speaking of bags of sand, we're watching 2020's Romance in the Outfield Double Play, distributed by Bridgestone Multimedia Group. We love you. Lovely to see you.
2 out of 4 stars on PureFlix.
Oh, on PureFlix, there's so much. Yeah. There's so much God in this movie, though. They eat that stuff up.
It's very G rated. It's very godly, and it's very baseball.
Oh, and you know it's baseball because everyone is constantly making baseball references in regards to conversations. People at the end of a conversation will go, "That inning is over." You go, "Please, please don't refer to our conversations as innings. Please, please, God."
Yeah, there's a lot of one-liners. There's a lot of tone changes within a scene that are just crap. There's a lot of love, though, and a lot of God.
Yeah, and not a lot of love for God, but a lot of love and a lot of God.
Yeah, for sure. The two do not really meet in a way that you want them to.
Yeah, it's there's not a scene where, like, someone's playing baseball and God, like, divinely changes the arc of the ball to hit the foul ball post or something. You know, there's nothing like that in the movie.
No, I pray that there is a movie like that, but who knows if we'll get to one of those.
Who knows? Who knows if we'll get to a movie where angels interfere in a baseball game? Who knows? Maybe we will, maybe we won't. I guess we'll see.
If such a movie exists, please email us or Twitter us at PureBoysPod. Just get at us.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we'll review a movie like that when the Angels win the pennant. Maybe we will. Probably not, but I guess we'll see.
Probably not.
Probably not, no. I need a windmill, fast and furious. First,
I don't think he's talking about the baseball game.
No, of course not. He's saying, I need you to lob me my copy of Fast and Furious. I'm going to get on the team bus and watch it on the DVD player we got in there.
Yeah, it starts off with a softball game and this dumb-looking coach that is in the weeds. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. He's in over his head. He just goes like, I can't, like, coaching girls is like herding cats.
Herding cats or herding cats?
Herding. E-R-D. Not U-R-T. I would never herd a cat.
Oh, my God. No, they're our Lord and Saviors, as far as I'm concerned.
Of course, yes. The outfielder, in the last play of the game, he's like, I need a windmill, fast and furious. And then the pitcher throws it, and it's just a home run. Like, just blows it. And the outfielder jogs after it and kind of jumps lazily and misses it. And I'm like, bad hustle, outfielder. You don't get a high five at the end of this. That was a bad hustle.
You can tell in every scene where there's baseball that they're acting as if they're being filmed and not playing baseball.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. There's a lot of just like there's a lot of shots of like someone in the bat, like ready to bat, but the camera is high enough that you can't see the like strike zone. So then they get to stand there and then the ump goes, oh, strike one. And like, they don't have to do anything. They don't have to actually pitch to them. It's very clever filmmaking.
Yeah, in every scene, even the scenes where the main man is pitching or hitting against the main woman.
Yes, Kenzie, the absolute worst person in this movie, hands down.
And there's not a game going on. It'd be very easy to film those two people and a catcher, but they don't. They don't pull it off.
No, I don't. I wager that those two never were never in the same room together this entire movie.
It's very true. They don't even want to kiss.
No. Yeah, that's... This movie, if you thought Twilight was full of weird religious romance, this movie is packed full of weird religious romance where it's just like, you owe me a kiss. Well, I'm not. Why don't we kiss in front of the team? Oh, well, you can't kiss me in front of the team. Like, just, I need you to be pure. Why aren't you pure? I need your purity. Like, just weird obsessions with, like, stupid concepts like purity and, like, just stuff like that. It's a very bizarre love in this movie.
This movie mixes the bad decision making of a terrible romance movie with purity and God, and it just, like, both of those things in one movie just don't mix very well. You need to have some frickin' I frickin' isn't enough.
No, you need and we almost get a little bit of frickin' with the storyline involving Tyler's sister Tiffany as a runaway bride. I'm gonna preface everything we talk about in this movie with this statement. Everyone in this movie is a terrible person. Like, everyone is a selfish, terrible person in this movie, but it's played as like, no, they're really good people. But if you look at their actions and how they treat each other, they're awful. They're really awful people. And so the only reason I love this movie is because I made a slight adjustment near the end of the movie that recontextualized the whole thing and made me love it. Otherwise, I was going into this very negatively, but then I found a way to love it.
They're also very dumb.
Like, yes.
they're making bad decisions. They're very dumb. They're awful to each other. They don't, like, exchange good conversation. I feel like it comes down to the script.
Yeah.
The script for this must be just god-awful to read. I think my least favorite character out of all of them, though, is the therapist.
Real quick before we get to the therapist, I do have a note near the end that said, this is a first draft script, 100%. They did not do any rewrites. They wrote it in a weekend and then went, that'll do, and didn't, like, look at what it all meant and how, like, there are scenes where people will say one thing and then say a completely contradictory thing in the next sentence. It's like, how did you, how did nobody notice this while you were making it? But yes, the therapist is, I don't know, I wouldn't say she's the, you, okay, well, how did you describe her? The worst character or your least favorite character?
I think I said the worst, but I also think, no, she's my favorite character because she's the worst.
Okay, well, please explain. I would love to hear why.
Well, she comes into the movie and she is framed as the therapist for a man trying to get back into the majors, for Tyler, the main character. And she's there to heal him and to get him back into action.
And sorry, I'm just going to interrupt. Sorry, I'm just going to interrupt for a second. He has a shoulder injury. He was playing in the major league. He got a shoulder injury, and now he's been bumped down. He's been, like, taken off the roster, and he's trying to get back into the major league. That's like, his setup.
Yeah, that's his whole thing. He's on injured reserve, and he doesn't know if he's ever going to make it back, even though, like, people come back from injuries all the time. It's, like, one of the main things of baseball.
any sport that ever existed, people get injured playing it.
But her whole thing early on, and she doesn't really go back to this, I thought they would go back to this a lot, but she basically says, don't hit, visualize hitting, you idiot.
Visualize your body healing and you hitting the ball. That's like, that's her therapy.
Yeah. And, like, she says it a couple of times. She always, she doesn't have any good help for him whatsoever.
No, she's just a hot piece of tail in a really cute summer dress. That's all she is. Like, she's bad at her job. Like, really bad at it.
And you could be hot and a good therapist too, but she seems like a teenager that is just, like, popping into the batting cages saying, hey, visualize your shoulder getting better, bud.
Yeah, hey, what are you doing? Why are you hitting balls? You should be visualizing. You should be laying on the bench visualizing. And we do get a scene of him visualizing, but what he visualizes is the memory of his wife's death. Like, he keeps coming back to his wife being killed by a drunk driver. He's laying, instead of visualizing his body healing, he's visualizing his wife getting crunched by a drunk driver. He goes, all right, I think I'm ready to play. I'm good to go.
Oh, poor Heather. I mean, you really got a feel for this broad.
Yeah, well, for real, because she is, like, the first movie in the series, Pitching Love and Catching AIDS, is all about his romance with Heather. And, like, I haven't seen it, but it is on PureFlix, and it is on YouTube, so maybe we'll watch. Nah, we probably won't, but...
Probably not.
Why would we? We know how it ends. Heather, it ends with them getting married, and then off-screen Heather tragically dying, and him never getting over it. In the world of this movie, she's died less than a year ago?
I think so. I'd have to say it was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, right before we run into Tyler... His wife has just been killed in a car accident. No, but I think it is, like, around a year has gone by since she died. Which, man, take the time you need to grieve your wife being tragically killed and the guilt that you feel because you didn't go pick her up and she, like... Well, that's not clear. He says he was too lazy to go pick her up, so then she somehow drove home and then was hit by a drunk... I don't understand. It doesn't matter.
I mean, she might have been the drunk driver because he had to go pick her up, implying that she was not safe to drive.
Damn, maybe she was the drunk driver and she got into a car accident. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe she wasn't hit by a car. Maybe she just, like, crashed her car because she was drunk. Huh.
We'll never know because we probably never see the movie. But he can't process his wife's death or his soon-to-be wife's death because... Kenzie is nipping at his heels the whole movie.
I love the idea, and, like, her death happens between the movies for sure, but I would love to go back and watch the first movie to see if there's like an undercurrent of her having like a slight drinking problem throughout the whole movie. Mm-hmm. And then like at the end of the movie, she's like, I don't want to drink anymore. And then in this movie, he goes, nah, she turned back to drinking and she died. Nah, well, God's plan, you know, that's just how it goes.
Yeah, we couldn't get the actress for the second movie, so we had to...
Yeah, we paid her for her likeness, and then we killed her, so... Because we use a bunch of footage from the old movie, but, you know, we'd still kill her, whatever.
That'd be a great director-producer intro, you know,
oh, I would love... Interview. If Dr. Chad Burns and Aaron Burns showed up and were like, hey, just so you know, if you're a big fan of Heather in the first movie, she's not in this one. She archival footage of her, but we did kill her in between movies, so... Yeah. Sorry.
We paid for our likeness. Everything's above board. Here's the contract.
We didn't just hire a lookalike to stand with her back to us the entire time. We used her likeness, old footage, and then killed her.
Every movie should have a Pendragon-like director-producer introduction.
Yeah, to temper your expectations. Like, look, I know you're excited about this, but just, it's got like a 6.5 on IMDb, which is fine. That's what most movies have on IMDb, but just be aware that, like, there's going to be some plot holes in this. It's not going to be watertight the way, like, maybe a Christopher Nolan movie might be or something like that.
Out of the gate, yeah. This movie is not going to be great. I don't know why I have Out of the Gate in my head, but I just do. It's singing in my vertebrae.
Well, I mean, we were singing it a lot last week, so it's. I get that it might still, like, seeing me might rekindle that those feelings again, and you want to get out of the gate.
Carman and Tiffany is such a nice side story. Tiffany is Tyler's sister, maybe even twin.
Yeah, I think he says that they're twins. So
Twinners,
yeah. Oh, my God. So it means that they have a secret language that only they can understand, and they're weird, and they have a weird psychic connection, and they can feel each other's pain, even if they're across the world from each other. That's just what twins are. Freaks.
Well, I didn't think you were going to say pain after feel each other's, but I totally agree.
Yeah, he can feel her getting railed.
Hopefully. Like, why else be a twin if you can't feel the other one just getting railed?
Like, he just shows up at her house and is like, I know you were getting railed last night. I woke up and my sheets were wet. What happened to you? You're supposed to be saving yourself for marriage.
Yeah, but of course, like, nobody has gotten railed in this movie.
No.
Because nobody is married. They're in their mid-30s.
At least.
And they're virgins.
Like, Tyler has only been kissed by Heather from the sounds of it, and I'm guessing just once.
Yeah, and just once, and they will never return until they get married.
Yeah, and Heather's not going to kiss him again, tell you that much.
Here's a fun fact for you.
Sure.
The actor that plays Tyler is 1 year older than me.
Wow, he's 43 years old. That's crazy.
Absolutely ridiculous.
He looks like he looks like he's 43. Like, he looks like, the fact that he was like, I'm trying to get back into the major leagues. I'm like, as a coach? Like, what are you trying to do?
The weird thing about baseball is that, like, old comebacks can happen.
Yeah.
It's one of those weird sports that, like, you can just be, like, a big, short, stocky guy and still have a career for a long time.
It's... Baseball looks like the easiest sport to be a part of athletically, which is why it's wild to me that women had to create softball, because they couldn't even compete against fat, dumpy chode men who hit dingers and run the bases. Like, they couldn't even compete against that level of talent. Sad.
It's patriarchy bull crap,
yeah.
And I won't stand it anymore.
Me neither. This is where we're taking it down today.
I stood up for it until now, but now I get it.
I might kneel for the flag and the national anthem, but I will not kneel for this. I will stand up for this.
Oh, yeah. We're going to stand up to pee for women's rights.
Oh, that's what we're standing up for. I wasn't sure at all the entire time we were hyping it up. I didn't know what we were fighting for. I was hoping it wasn't something bad, but if it's for women's rights, then okay, fine. I might kneel for that, too. I don't know. Like, one knee. I'll T-bow. I'll T-bow for it.
T-bow.
T-bow. Sorry. So yeah, Tiffany when we meet Tiffany, who is also a terrible person, she is running out of a church and then just like gets into a car that is parked near the church, yeah, driven by a very handsome man, and she goes, "Get me out of here."
Carman is very beautiful. He's got shoulder length hair. Yeah. He's got a body that just won't quit.
Oh, yeah.
And he isn't as religious as the other knaves in this movie.
No. There is a scene near the end where I thought he was going to be like, "Well, goodbye. This is crazy. Goodbye."
Yeah. Because he's almost the normie in this movie, but he really wants to get his nut.
Well, but he doesn't, though. Like, yes, he pitches love to her near the end of the movie,
yeah,
but, like, the rest of the time, he's just like, "Hey, you're clearly going through some stuff. Like, what can I do to help? Like, how can I help you get through this? And, like, clearly there's some, like, connection between us here. Maybe we should explore this a little bit? I don't know." But, like, yeah, he lays it on a little thick at the end, but that's all. Even he says at himself at the end, "I'm not the bad guy here." And I went, yeah, "You're not the bad guy, car guy. Tiffany's the bad guy, if anything, in this situation." But we'll get to all that.
Carman is brought into this abandoned home with this beautiful lady quite a bit. And she gives off the impression that she wants to have a fling because she just left her man at the altar. She's pure. She reads the Bible to him.
That's the scene I was talking about. She's yeah, like, we cut to them and she's like, "So then Daniel walked out of the lion's den completely unscathed. Can you believe that?" And the guy's just like, "Wow. Wow.
That's cool.
Goodbye." Like, I can't. What the hell are you telling me you believe this? Oh, no. Oh, God.
Mamma mia.
Oh, I'm not
getting
laid.
Get back
laid
to my car dealership.
I love that, too. And he's like, "Here's my card. Call me if you need anything." She goes, "Oh, you're a car salesman?" And he's like, "Yeah." "Yeah, he's a car salesman. He probably makes buku bucks selling cars. What are you talking about? Why are you treating this like that's a shameful profession to be in? That's totally fine."
You don't have a body like that if you're not a salesman. You gotta lube up the deal somehow, and he's probably making bank off of old ladies.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he's trying to work you to buy a car. See, that's...
Yeah.
If he would have been the bad guy if after he... Like, when she read him the Bible, he was like, "Look, do you need a brand new Acura or what? I'm here, I'm trying to..." "I'm trying to close this deal, Tiffany. I can get you in a 2022 Acura...
Elantra?"
Sure. I can't think of a single Acura. We see a lot of them prominently displayed in this movie, but the amount of product placement in this movie is absurd. Like, did you see the big jar of Clausen pickles that she's just, like, munching on during that one scene?
That I get, though. As somebody who has been left at the altar and has left somebody at the altar.
Of course.
I go right to the pickle jar.
Of course. You wear your wedding dress and you just stick your whole hand in the jar and pull out a delicious Clausen pickle wedge.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's got to be garlic, baby.
Of course. I fully expected her to at some point go like, "God, these are good pickles." Like, I really expected her to comment on the pickles the way she was eating them, but she doesn't.
"Here, have a pickle. These are great."
"Brother, have you tried a pickle? Twinner, come here, get this pickle." Clausen looks right into the camera and slops pickle juice on her face. Clausen, this is delicious.
She also is 11 out of 10 on the look scale. She is absolutely beautiful in every way.
That's true, but she's a 0 out of 10 in the personality scale. She is such a horrible person. Like, she gets into a stranger's car and then is being so mean to him the entire time. Like, just being like, she gets out at one point and he's like, "Get back in the car. Like, I'll drive you where you want to go. Just get back in." She's like, "Well, like, do you believe me that I was there just like trying my dress on at the church?" And he's like, "Yes, I believe you." And she's like, "Well, I don't believe that you believe me. I'm not riding with someone who doesn't believe me." And he's like, "Okay, but you're lying. And also, I don't know you. And I'm just a hot stranger. So I get why you feel safe around me because I'm hot. But like, who cares if I believe you or not? Just get in the car."
But you have to have the typical line of, I can't in good conscience leave a lady by the road. It's in so many movies.
Yeah, don't think I need a handsome man to rescue me. Well, clearly you do, actually, because you're out here on the highway alone with one shoe and a wedding dress, so I think anybody would need rescuing at this point.
I think he's definitely a murderer. He wants to murder this person. Why else hang out in front of a church? He doesn't even tell the audience who he was there for, just that he was there for somebody else.
Yeah, it is funny that he's not an Uber driver. Like, he's just a guy. So the fact that, like, later on when he goes to her house, or goes to, like, her aunt's summer home or wherever the hell she's hiding, and he's like, he gets in the hot tub with her and he's like, look, I haven't even told you why I was at the church. And she's like, oh, why were you at the church? Oh, I was there to pick somebody up. Okay, well, that's obviously why. Like, whom? Whomst were you there? Roberto Alomar? Whomst were you there to pick up?
Like, do you have a connection to her and the husband-to-be? Like, why were you at this specific church during their eloping?
Yeah, we find out that they were eloping, so it was just the two of them and the priest. So maybe he was the priest's ride? Maybe
the priest, right?
Maybe he was trying to get that priest into a brand new 2022 Acura Elantra. Maybe that's what he was trying to do.
And that's easy. We just came up with that right away. Put it in your script.
Right? That's such an easy lie to tell. I'm just looking up real quick.
What an Acura is?
Yeah, one Acura car so we can make jokes about it. Because
hey,
I couldn't.
Google, what's an Acura?
Nice. Oh, they all have like letters. Like the all-new 2022 MDX. Acura MDX.
MDX is funny. That's a good ring.
Okay. Yeah, all right. The Acura MDX. That's what it's going to be. Oh, my God. You don't need my location. Just show me the friggin' cars. MDX, RDX, TLX, ILX, NSX, Type S. Well.
I want to know what an Elantra is.
No, that's a Honda, I think. Acura Integra. That's a car with a name.
That's a car with integrity.
Hey, that's a car with purity, if you know what I mean. No one's stuck anything in its tailpipe yet. Yet.
I do know what you mean.
So this, we've been talking about Tiffany and Car Guy a lot, but the real stars of this movie are Kenzie and Tyler. One of them being Tyler, a sad man whose life is falling apart, seemingly before his eyes. The love of his life was tragically killed in a drunk driving accident. His dreams of becoming a professional baseball player are seemingly over. And Kenzie, a selfish, horrible person who is just so self-absorbed that she can't support this guy and give him the help and love that he needs because he doesn't love her 100% or something like that.
They both love baseball.
Yeah.
They're both coaching girls softball, one by choice and one as a favor for a friend. Mm-hmm. You can figure out which one's which.
Exactly.
And they both hate love each other.
Yeah, it's no. I would say Kenzie hate loves him. Tyler feels nothing but guilt and shame and sadness and thinks that she hates him. He only understands the hate part of her hate love.
Yeah, that's very true. Because one of their first scenes, they're kind of having, you know, this stupid conversation. I think they also have a pitching batting duel that the major league person loses.
No, he wins that first one.
Hmm?
Doesn't he crush a home run on that one? Or no, that's the flashback. Never mind.
That's the flashback.
Sorry. Yeah.
That I think he makes up in his mind. I don't think that actually happened.
And none of that is from Pitching Love and Catching AIDS. None of that stuff. That's all stuff that took place before that movie. She's not in that movie at all. So they just made up a new character and then made up like flashback footage that took place before the movie that we had seen. It's very strange. Yeah.
Well, they had to create a new love character because they couldn't get, what was her name? Heather.
Heather.
Back.
Exactly.
But they're having this fun duel, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the scene, he goes, I have so much regret. It's haunting me. And out of nowhere. And then you learn that his wife dies, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, sad.
Sad, sad, sad. Cry, cry, cry. Wife's dead. Boo-hoo. Get over it, man. If you're, hey, I mean, I say that as a joke, but if I was Kenzie, I would be saying, get over it, man. I'm right here. Your wife is dead. I'm right here, and I want to get friggin' laid, bro.
Which she kind of does when they eventually go on a date an hour into this movie.
Yes. The date in, like, the attic of a castle, and it's like a, like, it's a beautiful location. They are super bougie. They're eating lobster bisque, and all I could think is, like, you both are soft, like, junior girl softball coaches. This is like a month's salary for you. This is wild. Don't blow it on this. What are you doing?
Well, he did get called up to the majors, so that's probably like 30 grand just for a couple of games.
True enough, but that was last year. That money's gone. Yeah. He's peed that money away.
Yeah, he's staying at his best friend's house, which the best friend is so funny.
Oh my God, talking about Sean Carter, brother of Nick and Aaron Carter.
Is that really true?
I believe so, yeah. He looks just like them.
He does look like a beautiful blonde hair,
yep,
stout stature.
Yeah, 240 pounds.
Of gristle.
Of gristle, yeah. When I saw that name in the credits, though, because I didn't really look much about this movie, but when I saw the name Sean Carter in the credits, I went, is Jay-Z in this movie? And then at the start, like, Tyler's agent approaches him, and he's, like, all blurry in the background, and it's a black dude with dreadlocks, and I was like, is Jay-Z in this movie? And then he's not. And I was like, oh. And it took me a while to figure out who Sean Carter was. And then, oh, it's the best friend who was a young, svelte hunk and now has put on some weight and is a softball coach.
Well, he became, I think he's a salesman or something. I don't know. He's done very well for himself. He has a microwave that comes out as a drawer. Like, this guy has money.
I couldn't tell you what that machine was. It beeps, he presses a button, a drawer opens, he takes something out of it, presses another button, and the door closes. But that's cool. I don't know what that is.
It was a hot meal, and I believe it was a microwave, because my microwave went off exactly at the same time as this drawer contraption went off. Very similar sound.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you were just connecting the two, being like, well, my ding was a microwave. This ding must be a microwave. It is.
Exactly what I was doing. The ding synced.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a sync ding. I get it.
Yeah.
Look, Steve, how would you feel if someone, if your wife told you, you stole my heart and knocked it out of the park?
I'm looking at that line in my notes, and I know exactly how I feel, and that's, like, finally.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, somebody's attaching baseball to love.
Well, and, like, it's funny that they got footage of your proposal to your wife in this, because we find out that in the past, in flashbacks, Tyler had proposed to Kenzie. This is before he met Heather, and then she tragically died, but it's just footage from your proposal where you said to your wife, I want to hit a home run with you in the most important game.
I couldn't imagine a better proposal than just slinging out a bunch of baseball terms and connecting that with my love, with my soon-to-be wife.
Yeah, it's a beautiful sentiment, and you might even say it's a home run.
And those perfect, very honest lines are strung throughout this movie.
Mm-hmm.
They use it all the time.
Do you want to give us another example?
At one point, Tyler calls his best friend corny, and then his best friend says, no, I'm horny for your sister. I of course, kid, I wish he would have said that.
Of course. There's a line in this movie, though, that I really love, because it's meant as like a nice sentiment, but it's very sad in the context of things. And that's Tyler is like, he's coaching a softball team, and he's like lamenting his shoulder, and he's kind of like lamenting the state of his life and the fact of the injury. And one of the girls on the team, who's wearing a beautiful puka shell necklace, comes up to him and goes, hey, coach, it's fine. If not for that injury, you wouldn't be our coach. And I went, that's so sad. Like, he was a major league baseball player, and now he's coaching junior girls softball in BF nowhere. And you're trying to go, well, if it wasn't for that injury, you wouldn't be here. Yeah, I know. I'd be playing against Roberto Alomar. I'd be going into the Hall of Fame. I know.
Kenzie's sister is so supportive of Tyler and Kenzie getting together, except for one scene near the end, and she has just this terrible turn, and it comes out of left field.
Yeah, and then Sean Carter is like flirting with her, and I'm like, bro, she's like 16 at the oldest, I would wager. Like, calm down, man. This is girls' junior softball.
Yeah, lock those gates up, man, because you're not ready to buck.
Yeah, I mean, truly, she's probably the most pure of all the people in this movie, and I know that's what they're all looking for, but still, at least wait till she's legal, bro. That's so creepy, man.
Well, they're all pure because they haven't had sex. And or
they can count on one hand how many times they've kissed another person.
I don't think they've even fluffed their own stuff.
I don't think Kenzie has kissed anyone.
Yeah.
Like, she says, I strike out with men a lot. Probably because of that.
A lot.
A lot. Constantly. Wow. Maybe it's because you're a huge...
Maybe it's because you use baseball terms for every conversation.
Yeah, I'm a car salesman. I don't know anything about baseball.
Kenzie kind of comes off as a car salesman, too. There should have been a connection there.
I mean, what if we found out that she was a car salesman?
Yeah.
Tiffany's like, I'm surrounded by car salesmen. I hate them all.
That should have been a C-plot, is her being a car salesman and, like, falling in love with Carman.
Mm-hmm. Carman, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh, there's a line when they're, I think it's when they're on their date, and Tyler goes, maybe I deserve to lose Heather so I could feel the pain that I caused you. I'm like, oh, Heather, he did you so dirty there. That's such a horrible thing to say about your dead wife. Like, oh, Heather's whole existence was that she could die tragically so I could learn to love another woman. Thank you, God. God's plan. Thank you.
Yeah, you better not call Heather's parents and tell them that.
Jeez. Yeah, like Heather said, you better not put baseballs on my tombstone. And he went, too bad. They're already on there.
That's how he could have saved the date in the castle, is I'm going to phone Heather's parents right now and tell them how much I'm over her death.
I need to tell them that she had to die so that I could find love with another woman. And that's the whole reason that you guys created her in the first place. God's plan.
Because this whole movie, Kenzie's trying to get back and flirt very heavily with Tyler. And then in this moment at the... date, when they're finally connecting, they're having a great time, she just like turns on him and tells him that he needs to love her more than Heather, more than baseball.
I hate Kenzie because I've known people like Kenzie. Like, I hate her. She is a selfish, terrible person. And like, if the person you supposedly love wants to be a professional baseball player and has the talent and ability to go do that, even if they don't, support your partner. Like it's not like he was, even in the movie, you know, it's like the reason she's mad is because during the proposal, he forgot the ring and then he got a call from his agent and he was like, oh, I have to take this call from my agent. And it's like, if you loved him, you would understand and you would like go, oh, I recognize this is important to you, and I want you to be able to follow your dreams. Not, you have to choose between baseball and me. Stay in this town and become a car salesman.
Here's a crazy notion. You can do both easily.
Yeah, here's an even crazier notion. His wife died less than a year ago. Maybe give him some time to process his feelings. Maybe don't ask him if he still loves his dead wife, because the answer is probably, Yeah, she died. I didn't get to say goodbye. She died tragically. I have a lot of trauma from this, but God's plan, you know?
He's going to love her for the rest of his life. Like, that was a huge part of his soul that was attached to this person.
He was going
to
get laid.
Yeah, he almost got laid.
Oh,
but
so
he
close.
Can also love you and move on with his life with you and play baseball.
Yeah, there's not...
Crazy.
It's not like love is just like you only have 6 milliliters of love, and once it's gone, it's gone. Like, it's just a renewable thing. It's just a feeling. Like, it's not even a feeling. It's an action. It's a verb. So let him express his love to you. Don't worry if he's still mourning the loss of his dead wife. Help him through that instead of being like, it's time to forget your dead wife, and it's time to forget your love of baseball, and it's time to love me. All right, well, goodbye then.
show your love to him by allowing him to say Heather while you have sex for the first time.
Yeah, I'll show him you love him by dyeing your hair brown so you look more like his dead ex-wife or his dead wife. And then that way, the first time you make love, he's finishing that arc of his life. And then the next time is for you. First time's for him, next time for you. Like, even with Tiffany, who's like, oh no, I'm saving myself for marriage. It's going to be like a perfect special thing. You're not going to enjoy the first time, Tiffany and Kenzie. It's going to hurt. Your hymen is going to be broken. You are not going to enjoy it. So stop acting like it's going to be magical and like fireworks are going to go off. Stupid, dumb Christian idiots.
Well, I hope breaking your hymen does feel good. I do wish that for all females out there.
Me too.
But it's probably going to be bad and awkward and sweaty in the wrong ways.
I hope that, like, for all the Christian women in this movie, they all are just playing beach volleyball. They go to spike the ball. They lose their balance, fall on their butt too hard, break their hymen, so that's done. And they don't have to worry about it ever again.
That's why they ride horses.
Oh, yeah, it pummels. It pounds that hymen into wine, you know? Just turns that cherry right into wine.
I put a challenge to any Christian filmmaker out there to talk about hymens in their movie.
Right? It's about time. If Turning Red by Disney can come out and talk about periods, then why can't Christian movies talk about hymens? That's what I'm trying to say. Maybe it's up to you and I. Maybe this is God's plan. You and I are supposed to write the first Christian movie about hymens.
Hymen!
Hymens written by two hymen.
I will go back to the weed well for that for sure.
The weed well, delicious. Did you love that when Kenzie meets the therapist, she is instantly jealous and like so horrible about it, and he's like, she's my therapist, she's not hitting on me. At no point in the movie does she ever seem to be like, she never makes a move, she never crosses that line with her client, but Kenzie sees a young attractive woman and is like, she's out to get my man. Like, Kenzie, you're the worst. You need therapy in the worst way, Kenzie.
You have to choose between your therapist and me.
Honestly, I might pick Kenzie in that situation because his therapist is just wasting his money. He's not visual. Although, he's not. Her whole thing is visualization. And then later on, she goes, you've been cleared to play. You can get back to the major leagues. And I went, how? He can't swing a bat without pain. And all you've done is visualization techniques. How was he cleared to play?
Every single time he swings a bat, and it happens quite a bit throughout this movie, He grimaces and clutches that arm, and then out of nowhere, he's cleared to play, and he's back, baby.
And there's not even a scene of him, like going to a doctor and, like... I would imagine if you were a professional baseball player who was injured, in order to get cleared to play, you would have to demonstrate to the people making those decisions that you can play baseball. But he seems surprised when she tells him that, as if he didn't go and do any of that stuff. It was just like arbitrarily they went, it's been 6 months. He's been doing his visualizations. I guess he's cleared to play.
Have Kenzie be the doctor or her 16-year-old sister be like a Doogie Howser type doctor or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let her be a young...
Like, duh.
Yeah, she takes off her puka shell necklace, she puts on a stethoscope, and she goes, let's see the patient today.
I am your doctor.
Oh, you thought you were coaching me? Oh no, I was watching you this whole time. And guess what? You're cleared to play in the majors.
There needs to be more Doogie Howser-esque doctors in movies.
Yeah, agreed. Why isn't there?
Out of the gate.
There's got to be a Doogie Howser in the Boss Baby franchise.
Yeah, like a Boss Baby doctor.
Yeah, the Doctor Baby.
See, why even go Boss Baby when there's Doctor Baby right there?
Yeah, or
I guess alliteration.
Doc Baby. You could even shorten it.
Yeah. Is there a term for doctors that starts with a B? That's tough.
No, I don't think so. Bonesaw.
Bonesaw!
That's baby. More of a surgeon, but it's fine.
Yeah, but then you can play like a surgeon and
maybe
it writes itself.
That's perfect, yeah. Maybe she's a chiropractor and they call her the Bonecracker Baby.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. I need you to love me with all of you. All right, well.
Nah,
I don't think so. Also, so we find out that Tiffany was eloping with Sean Carter. Like, she was eloping with Tyler's friend And after she runs away from the marriage, she doesn't contact him for like weeks. And he keeps trying to like go to her house and like talk to her, but car salesman is always there, and so he's very self-conscious because he's kind of fat and dumpy, and car salesman is very hunky, and obviously Tiffany is an 11 out of 10 in the look scale, not the personality scale. But like, what a horrible way to treat this man, to just be like, I just can't face him. Well, it's been like 14 days, so maybe you could like speak to him. Like, it seems pretty cruel what you're doing to your brother's best friend.
She's godly and she can't put herself out there like that, even if she's so filled with love and I don't know, indecision. She can't reach out to the person that she wronged in the worst way.
No, certainly not. She doesn't owe him that. He's a fat, dumpy, ugly guy. She's got this hunk, this slab of beef in front of her. That's the guy she should give her respect and her time to, not this fat, dumpy idiot.
She's definitely torn between meats. A hunky meat and a love meat.
Exactly, yeah. And she just doesn't know which one she wants on her hoagie.
And God meat, of course, is in there in between.
That's the Holy Trinity.
That's the Holy Trinity.
Yeah, God meat, hunky meat, and love meat.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all know that life starts with God meat, and then that angel brings it down and splooshes into the love meat, and then you get a hunk meat. So Kenzie comes over, and she's like, she comes over to Sean Carter's house for some to pick up a bag or something like that, right? Is that what it is?
I can't remember why. I think she wants to talk to Tyler is her main thing.
But she's, like, surprised to see Tyler. She's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, well...
Oh, right.
This is...
Well, probably trying to sell him a car.
Yeah, I'm trying to close this deal with Sean Carter. Can you tell him that his Acura Integra is outside?
MXD.
Yeah, exactly. And right before Kenzie comes over, this is when Tyler gets cleared to play baseball again, miraculously for no reason. So his like therapist is sitting in the living room, and like I love that Kenzie comes upstairs and in true movie fashion just doesn't see the therapist and proceeds to pour her heart out to Tyler.
Well, you gotta have a mix them up at the end. You gotta have like a switcheroo of you know, fate.
Yeah, exactly. So she pours her heart out to him, and he's like, yeah, that's great. I'm in love with you. And then she turns around and sees the trainer and is just like, oh, I'm just jealous and petty and small as a person. I'm storming out of here. And she storms out of the building. Very
out
funny.
Of the gates.
Yep.
Doogie Howser is very upset with Tyler. Only time she's ever upset with him.
I guess. Like, I don't know why. I don't know why she's upset, but...
Or there.
Yeah, yeah, why does she show up there too? Like, everyone is congregating at Sean Carter's house, and he's just like, I'll be in my bedroom, I guess. Like, I'm not going to be a part of any of this drama. I'll be in a different room.
My scene's later.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So since somehow, I don't know, well, and this is the scene where Kenzie's sister is horrible, or is just like a lunatic, like, she just gives up on the romance between Kenzie and Tyler, because Tyler goes to chase after Kenzie, and... Her sister's like, no, you blew it. Now you blew it. You can't blah, 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 blah. And I went, but what did he blow? He didn't do anything. I don't understand.
He blew his wad is what happened.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, definitely he blew his wad. So he doesn't chase after her for some reason.
No, he goes to Tiffany's house?
Yeah. Is this when he goes to Tiffany's house and then, like... There's, like, the fight?
Yeah, the fight between the best friend and the car man and right. Tiffany, that all blows up.
That fight is very funny, because there's a point where they both have each other by the lapels with a fist raised, and Tiffany literally stands in between them and goes, what would Jesus do? It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, you gotta cram God into it. There's a couple of very manly shoves. And Sean Carter doesn't get the best of it because he gets pushed to the ground. And then they grab each other's collars and why I oughta.
Yeah. And Car Salesman's wearing a big turquoise ring. If you take that to the jaw, Sean Carter, you're in trouble, man. That's going to hurt.
Carman obviously has a huge ring. He probably won it playing baseball.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. And I love that, like, Tyler's there and he's like, sister, what are you doing? Like, this, you're picking, like... He's like, at first I wasn't supportive of you with my best friend, but like, my best friend's a good dude. You met this hunky car salesman like a week ago, and you're willing to just throw everything away for this guy you don't even know? And she's just like, I messed up, Tyler. Like, get over it. It's like, you don't get to act high and mighty here, Tiffany. You're acting like a crazy person.
Get over it.
Get over it. You get over it. You abandoned your husband at the altar. What are you talking about?
And then Carman just leaves, I think.
Well, that's when Carman goes, I'm not the bad guy here. Like, yeah. I'm not in the wrong here. I'm just, she got into my car is what he says. She just got into my car. I don't know her.
You guys need to lose your virginity because you guys are acting crazy. I'm leaving.
Right? That like, so many problems in this movie could have been solved if they'd all just lost their virginity at any point before this.
Like, yeah, break your hymens, males and females.
Yeah, just like, recognize that sex isn't like this huge thing, this like life-changing experience. Just get a nut and move on already so you can stop acting like a crazy person.
It's fun.
It's a good time. Premarital sex is the best. Postmarital sex is the best.
Any marital sex, pre or post, is great.
Whatever you want to do with whoever you want to do it with. Just get your nut, player. It's all good.
All stars and stripes, obviously.
Obviously, all stars and stripes, yeah. As long as everyone's a consenting adult, that's all.
Yes, please.
The way God intended.
Please.
Please. then there's a very sad scene where Tiffany and Sean Carter are like talking, and this is the scene where he says like two completely contradicting things, where he's like, look, you're perfect in every way, Tiffany, which she's not, but you're just not for me, I guess. And if being with that hunky car guy would make you happy, then I'm cool with it. And then in the next breath he goes, I hope you'll reconsider and give me another chance. Well, which one is it? Are you happy for her, or are you on your hands and knees?
And she's just as confused as he, and she leans into him and starts crying. I don't know what she chooses. Probably Carman.
Yeah, definitely Carman, of course. She's tired of being a perfect Christian girl, she says a bunch of times in the movie. She wants to get freaking laid already. Enough with this purity crap. Just get laid and be a human being.
And she has a hot new deal on an Acura MXD.
Oh my God. The financing he got for her. It's like, she's going to pay it off over 5 years, and it's only like 3%. Like, it's a crazy deal. She's rolling in it.
She gets all the upgrades for free. It's all bought in.
Of course. What do you think she's most excited for? Heated seats? Power steering? So many options.
Well, they're in the desert, so she probably didn't get, heated wheels.
Right. Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't need the steering wheel to be heated, but in Haiti, you definitely do.
Yeah. Up in the mountains of Haiti, you definitely want heated seats. You want a block heater. You want to plug your car in at night and keep the engine warm, you know, all that stuff.
And we're at, like, the tippy top of the mountains of Haiti. Like, it's still basically on the equator, so even the top of a mountain can be, like, pretty warm, but we're right up there at snow level.
Yeah, you'd think that it would be really hot at the top of the mountain because we're at the equator and we're the closest to the sun at the equator, but it's actually very cold up here, so that's just the way it
closer
goes.
Closer to God. Problem is that the atmosphere thins out and can't keep in the carbon dioxide, so it's cooler.
And that's the thing people don't tell you about heaven, is that it's so high up that it's freezing cold there. It's literally, you go up there and you can see your breath, even though you're an angel and you don't breathe. You can see your breath. Everyone's wearing parkas. It's kind of miserable. That's why hell is so hot. It's because heaven is so cold.
The first couple of sentient deaths, they just kind of showed up at heaven and froze immediately. And God was like, I don't know what to do.
I gotta send the hell to thaw out. And then he just forgot to bring them back. So now those people are in hell forever, which, fine, way to go, God. You blew it again.
Yeah, then he had to create hell so that he could unfreeze these dead bodies. And then he went too far.
Mm-hmm. Made a super hot hunk called the devil and sent him down there to look after things. He was like, I'm just gonna keep these, like, cavemen. Is that cool? Like, yeah. They showed up in heaven wearing, like, a fur stole. Like, they didn't even, like, they had, like, a deer pelt draped over their shoulder. They weren't ready for that kind of cold.
And thus, the battle between hell and heaven began. And that makes a lot more sense than Christianity, I think.
Oh, yeah, way more sense. It actually has logic attached to it. So then we get to the, in my mind, the climax of the movie, because this is where I tweak the movie a bit to make it palatable and make me fall in love with it. So Kenzie is the coach of a softball team. Tyler is the coach of a softball team. And they're doing like a scrimmage to like help each other or something, even though the coaches hate each other at this point.
Well, I think they're just playing a game against each other.
Earlier,
or is it just practice?
Kenzie's sister mentions that they're going to scrimmage with each other at some point. She mentions that like closer to the end. And there's nobody there. Of course there's not. It's girls softball. But I feel like that they're just like, it's just a practice scrimmage. So,
yeah. Well, they do end up deciding this scrimmage pretty unorthodoxly.
Yeah, it is funny that, like, so the game is being played, and then just girls from Kenzie's team start leaving, and Tyler's like, well, is your team just, like, giving up? And she goes, they have other commitments? Yeah. Okay, what about this commitment, though? Like, you said you were going to do this for us.
It's in the middle of the day, probably a Saturday or a Sunday. What, do they have to go scoop a bunch of ice cream at the local Dairy Queen?
Yeah, she's got her 4:30 shift. She can't be late for. The manager's already pissed at her. She gave away a Dilly Bar last week. She's on thin ice.
She's going to get fired.
Oh, yeah. So then Kenzie's sister, Macbeth, what's her name? Her name is some, because Kenzie's short from McKenzie.
Doogie Howser.
You're right, sorry. So Doogie Howser is like, look, why don't one of you pitch and one of you hit, and whoever strikes out or hits a home run, which, like, don't put that kind of pressure on them to hit a home run. Just hit the ball, right? Like, get a base hit at least. And whoever does that, their team will win the scrimmage. And they go, yeah, that is what we'll
do.
We've been playing for a kiss this whole time, but we need to play for some real stakes.
Yeah, some real stakes. This is it.
Oh, yeah. So, what happens?
Well, you know, a couple of strikes, a couple of balls,
mm-hmm.
and then hit by pitch.
Yes. So, Kenzie's pitching, Tyler's hitting, the ump is just trash-talking Tyler the whole time, to the point where he goes, hey, like, do your job. Like, shut up and do your job. Leave me alone. Kenzie is mad at Tyler because he had the audacity to continue following his dreams, or not even that. He had the audacity to have the therapist over at Sean Carter's house when Kenzie came by to apologize to him or something, which I don't know why she's so mad at him and why she hates the therapist so much, but whatever. It doesn't matter, apparently. But,
and she hits him, like, right in the sore shoulder. Like, she definitely re-injures or makes his shoulder much worse.
100%. She beans him so hard and, like, is clearly good at what she does. She's throwing strikes. She threw a couple of balls just to, like, shake him up and get him off his game. And then, yeah, she pins him right in the left shoulder, right in his injured shoulder, and he goes down hard. And she has the audacity to go, oh, I didn't mean to do that. Sure you didn't. Sure you didn't. Sure you threw a wild pitch that hit him in the shoulder. Sure.
You got as much control as you want. You definitely injured him for a lifetime so that he would stay with you instead of following his dreams.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, on another note, he's not wearing a helmet. So she was, like, a quarter of an inch away from just taking his head off with the giant softball. Like, just so reckless. Just couldn't let her petty feelings, couldn't let him win, I guess, in quotation marks. Had to make sure that his life was ruined at this point. So she was his only option left.
So I think this could have taken two different turns. One, he gets hit in the head and he, like, is
killed.
Wrecked for the rest of his life.
He's
and
killed.
She has to, like, feed him with a spoon.
Oh, no, she would abandon him instantly if that happened. She'd be like, oh, no, I'm not.
Yeah,
you can't provide for me. No, you're gone. Get out of here. Let the nurse take care of you or whatever.
Drives off with Carman.
Yeah.
Happy ending, for sure.
Tiffany, Kenzie, and Carman all get together. Sean Carter has to take care of him. That's really who would have to do it.
Carman gets called back up to the majors. because we find out that ring is from winning, like, some state championship.
Yeah, he used to play for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, and now and now he's back.
Or the other way this could have ended is that before, when he gets cleared to play, that scene never happens. and his arm is still injured while they're doing that pitch off, mm-hmm. and the ball knocks his shoulder back into place so he can go back to the majors.
That would be great, too. That would be hilarious if that's what it was, if it just fixed him, and he was like, and now she's got a new career as a sports fixer.
Career.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, Bo, you broke your hip? Well, come on, let me pitch a couple softballs at it. We'll knock that thing back in place.
But yeah, so the last scene is him at a major league stadium pitching, and then she's in the dugout as the fixer.
Exactly, yeah. She's now in the major leagues as well. It's a beautiful thing. They have this franchise together. It's a beautiful thing. It's kind of like the God List or whatever the hell that Taekwondo movie was we watched.
Yeah, where they come together as a perfect duo of industry.
Absolutely. Perfect duo of industry. But instead, Kenzie lets her petty feelings ruin this man's career with a stupid, pointless injury. And so she's sad. He is like, I don't want to see any of you anymore. So he leaves. He's miserable. Kenzie leaves. She's miserable. Tiffany doesn't have Carman or Sean Carter, so she's miserable. Sean Carter doesn't have Tiffany, so he's miserable. Carman's out there getting freaking laid, so he doesn't care. He's having a great time being a normal human being. And that's where I shut the movie off. I said, this is the perfect ending to this movie. Everyone in it is terrible, and they all deserve to be miserable. And so there was still like 15 minutes left. I shut it off because I went, I don't even want to see anybody reconcile because I know that's what's going to happen. I just want to end things with everyone miserable. And so I'm going to be honest, I don't even want to hear how this movie ends because I already gave it the perfect ending.
All right. Well, here we go.
All right.
Movie ends. No. Consciously, I did not do the same thing that you did. I did watch the end of this movie.
Right.
But obviously, subconsciously, I did what you did because I do not have another note after she hits him with a pitch.
Nice. Perfect. Well, then great. We're in agreeance.
Yeah.
Romance in the outfield, double play ends with everyone miserable, nobody getting what they wanted, and most people's lives, like, irreversibly ruined. So, Steve, what did you think of Romance in the Outfield, double play?
I really enjoyed my viewing of this movie. It's a terrible movie, but I found fun things to make fun of, and the lines were really cheesy and terrible. And I think the real fun in this movie is that so many scenes start off joking and light and bubbly, and then they turn to like really dark, angry places right away. Yeah. And it just happens so many times. This script is absolute garbage. And I took a lot of joy out of that. And I can't wait for the rest of spring training. Adam, what did you think of Romance in the Outfield, double play?
I loved it. It was a terrible film filled with terrible people, but with one small tweak, it really, like I said, recontextualized the whole movie and made me love it. I was texting you throughout being like, I hate this movie, I hate these people, but at the end, I found my romance in the outfield and I hit a home run off of it.
Oh, not even a double play?
No, it was a home run for me, for sure. And I got to say, I'm very excited for the rest of spring training. I think spring training is going to be, the rest of April is going to be awesome. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, let's play more ball.
Hey, until next time, I love you.
I love you.
We love you. Play ball.
I made a comment earlier tonight that I guess went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there,
that's a pride,
I can't
both.
Tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith, as there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos that will be a home run.
Play ball!